Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to, I always say this, Nathan, but it's always true, a very special edition of the TFL Talk podcast.
Well, it's special because I'm here.
Yes, and we'll be talking about why you're here and how you got here.
Yeah, but there's an event that you covered and that we did, both of which are rare. One is only once a year, the other one, well, never happens. So I think that's why it's special.
Yeah, so what we're going to be talking about today is, well, first of all, how we cannonballed across the country in an EV. Mm-hmm. And that video was published this last weekend. So if you want to go and check it out, it's on alltfl.com. And basically, Nathan and I and Cole, our videographer, drove from downtown Orange County in California to downtown Orange County in Orlando or Florida. 2,500 miles in an Ioniq 5. And you know, we call it a cannonball, and people are like, it's not a cannonball because you had to stop and charge. I'm like,
well, you stop with a cannonball and gas up.
Yeah, unless you have, you know, a fuel tank that
the holds size, like 1,000 gallons. Yeah, you're towing something. Yeah, we as quickly as possible, but at the same time, we had to maintain speed because we didn't want to burn too much energy between stops.
So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about actually what it was like to bring the car back to California because Hyundai lent it to us and you drove it back from
solo
by himself. And then we're going to talk about the recent LA Auto Show with me having, a
cathartic moment next to a Porsche.
With the new Porsche Dakar.
Which is, it might be the coolest car at the LA Auto Show.
All right, so let's start with the actual cannonball.
Okay.
And our friend, I just talked to Nicole, I saw her at the LA Auto Show.
She back out?
Yeah, and that's gonna come flying off. Be careful.
Yep. Okay, I got it. Didn't really realize this wire was so taut.
Yeah, you're kind of all caught up in that wire.
We're still working on wiring.
I'll help you.
No, it's cool. I'm fine.
It could drive you crazy watching this thing go flying.
Nobody's OCD here.
No, that.
Okay, so now when I get out, it'll fly. Got it.
The wrong timing thing on. There we go.
Should we start over or are we good?
No, we're good.
Okay.
We're not perfect. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll have figured out what happened. Nathan was wrapped around our little counter there.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Okay, we're good.
All right. So, and I am OCD. He's absolutely right about that. So, I was talking about Nicole. So I talked to our friend Nicole, and she's going to try to break her record.
Oh, okay. I hear this, but until I see it, I won't believe it.
Nicole and Eileen.
Okay.
So they're going to do the same thing. And if you guys want to try to break our record, we encourage it.
Yeah, you'll have to watch the video to get the specifics. But essentially, there's a fountain in Old Orange County, California, that we started at. And then there's another fountain it's kind of like old, but it's Orange County, Florida. And those two places, basically, on using the 10 highway, which, you know, there's some other stuff, but that's what you have to do in an electric vehicle and do it, you know, try not to break the law doing it and see if you can beat our record.
Yeah, we picked the southerly route because if you're familiar with the cannonball, it was started by Brock Yates, who started because of the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. He wanted to do a protest, quote-unquote, so he drove a Ferrari from basically downtown L.A. to the Santa Monica Pier, and that's 3,000 miles.
Downtown L.A. to the Santa
downtown New York to the Santa Monica Pier. You're right. And that's 3,000 miles, and the record for that is, I think, 27 hours.
Yeah.
But we want to do something that was hopefully legal and hopefully different for an EV because, let's face it, EV is a whole different animal.
Right, until they have a massive range available. And there are a couple out there that have some pretty good range. But there's a couple things you have to keep in mind. Highways absolutely hurt EVs' range. They do not like running down highways. So, because they can't use their regenerative braking to put energy back in the vehicle, right? Unless you're hitting traffic. So that's one issue. The other issue is that if you're going too fast in an EV, you do burn a lot of electricity. And so you might not make it from point A to point B and hit each charger. So we had to keep all those things in mind. And we were very careful doing it. Right.
Yeah, because look, you can't, the thing is, energy use exponentially increases after 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So in a traditional cannonball, and if you do the math, I think that 27 hours translates to 110 miles an hour on average, which is definitely illegal and dangerous.
Yeah. We can't. We don't want to be dangerous or illegal.
Right. We don't want to, kill ourselves or anybody else.
We cannot do that in an electric vehicle.
No, because you'll use so much power that you'll spend more time charging than you will actually gaining distance by going fast.
Right.
So it becomes this walking the tightrope between how fast you go and how long you charge. And that's what makes it interesting. So it's kind of like left brain versus right brain.
Yeah, I don't like going slow personally. However, there's something interesting. For instance, we took the Ioniq 5 from Hyundai, which is, by the way, a brilliant car. And it has good range. And most importantly for this vehicle, aside from the fact that it was very comfortable, it also has a very fast onboard charger, which means that we are able to, an 800-volt architecture, right? So we could go and power in a ton of juice in a very limited amount of time to go from roughly 30% to 80%, sometimes in less than 15 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is a great, stopping point if you think about it.
Because it charges up to 250 kilowatts.
Right.
Which is a lot. And the reason we chose the southern route instead of the northern route is because we wanted to actually set an EV cannonball record that anybody could break any time of year, because EVs do suffer in the winter, right?
Mm-hmm, that is
like,
true.
Like up to 25% of their power goes toward losses, like heating the batteries, yada, yada, yada. So if you're driving from New York in February to California, you're going to, not have the greatest amount of battery life. Whereas if you're going through, I'll name the states.
Yeah.
So you start in California,
mm-hmm.
then you zip over to
Arizona
very briefly, and then you go into New Mexico, I mm-hmm. think. Arizona, a long time. New Mexico,
right.
Briefly.
Right.
Texas, forever.
Forever. Over 800 miles right across Texas, El Paso through Houston.
And then Louisiana,
Mississippi,
Alabama, and Florida.
Yep. Now,
and they're all warm.
They're all warm, although we went through during, in between two different hurricanes, which was great.
it's true.
And then a lot of other minor issues with weather. But there is this another thing. Now, granted, if you take, I-70 up and across, you will be going through the Rocky Mountains, our hometown area, all that other stuff. And it is very difficult. Elevation really hurts. Going up a hill is very difficult for electric vehicles as well. That doesn't mean that in the future we won't try something like that. This is our first benchmark, though. This is our first attempt. And because of that, we've set it. And there's something else that I wanted to mention, and that is, why didn't we use a Tesla? And there's a very simple answer for that.
Why didn't we use a Tesla? It wouldn't work. They wouldn't give us one.
Well, yeah, that is part of it. But the other part of it is that Tesla has already established a fantastic network throughout the country, and we all know that. You guys know that. But CCS, the stuff that we're using, the stuff that most people will be using who cannot afford a Tesla or perhaps are getting a different vehicle for various reasons, they cannot, at least currently, use those Tesla chargers. That's supposed to change in the future. You've been hearing about this, right?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of, Elon makes a lot of promises.
Bold statements.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you have a Tesla and you want to try to break our record, go for it.
Yeah, by all means.
Nothing stops you from doing it. It's just the record is one that people are like, well, what was the previous record? There was no previous record.
That's the whole point. We set a benchmark.
That's
why we specifically showed you the fountain in Orange County and in the other fountain in Orange County.
Yeah, you got to go from fountain to fountain, touch the fountain, and you can go from Florida to California or California to Florida, whichever way you want. Doesn't really matter. And the record, Nathan, is what? What did we set it at?
46 hours and 46 minutes.
Yeah. And we spent 9 hours of that charging.
Yeah, we did. And it's a funny thing because one of our viewers actually pointed out something very interesting. A lot of people are like, oh my God, you could do that with only stopping for 4 hours for gas, right? Well, one of the viewers said, well, Yeah, maybe. But remember that some of the stops that you are making when you're getting gas, sometimes you have to go use the bathroom and then get some food or go through a drive-thru or all these other things that you might do. So maybe it's not exactly that cut and dry, which is a really good point. So what we may do in the future, and we're going to explore these possibilities, is we might try to recreate that exact same run using a gas vehicle, possibly a hybrid vehicle. It's a wonderful run. It's a beautiful stretch of highway, especially going through the south. But it is also very difficult. But it would be interesting to see what the other benchmarks are for this particular run. And I think once that's established, then you guys can go and recreate these things at will.
Anyway, we also did partner with Electrify America. So that was another reason why we decided to do that, because they have basically chargers about every 100 to 150 miles, and they're fast chargers, right?
Yeah, in some cases they're much closer too.
Some cases they're much closer, but let's say on average about every 100 miles.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
No, and for the most part, if you're taking the 10 freeway highway across the United States, as long as your vehicle has a range of around 200 miles, you should be able to go from one fast charger to another. That's provided that the infrastructure is working correctly, and that's provided that your vehicle's, you know, charged just right along the way. But there have been a few obstacles, and there definitely are still a few obstacles out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we had missed a charger, we would have probably been stuck, because the EV, the Ioniq 5, has an EV range of, I think the EPA range is around just under 250, right?
It's really, realistically, it's around 230.
Right, but the problem is on a road trip, you're never charging to beyond 80%, because what ends up happening is after 80%, and I think this is an EA thing as well as a car thing, charging really slows down. So let's say you're charging at 100 kilowatts or maybe even more. All of a sudden, you get to 80%, and ours went on a bunch of those stops down to like 5 or 6 kilowatts, which is like trickle charging.
Right. What happened, it actually was at 81% that I noticed.
I remember, yeah.
Because you could go a little bit past 80, and you're like 100, 150 even, and all of a sudden it would throttle down major to like 7 kilowatts or something, which is essentially like plugging into 220 or 120. It's like nothing. And that makes it very difficult for us, because we're like, are we going to sit here for another hour to try to get to 90%?
Yeah, not if you're trying to set a cannonball record.
Right. So that was part of the thing that kind of held a gun to our head. But the fortunate part was, because we're trying to also go quickly, going from 30 to 80% means that we would have 180, 190 miles
of effective range.
Right.
Yeah.
And we could shoot over to the next charger and go and do it again. And the cool part is, between 30 and 80%, seriously, in some cases, took us less than 15 minutes to absolutely get it up there. And then there were other chargers that were just kept cranking until 90, 95% without a problem. So it wasn't a consistent issue that we had, by the way.
Yeah, and then if you're looking for like the hard numbers, like how much energy we used, and all that's in the video. So
yeah,
go check it out.
On the part two of the video, which is on TFL Car, at the very end, which a lot of people didn't stay to the end, so they're asking, well, how much power did you use? So like, watch the end. The very end of the video actually shows all of the information, so you'll be able to see it.
But effectively, so let's say you're only going to 80%, so really you might have, like you said, Nathan, maybe 190 miles of range.
180, 190, I'd say, at the most.
But then, remember what I said, after 60 miles an hour, you're exponentially using more energy. So now the speed limit, especially through Texas and Arizona, which is a majority of the drive, is 80 miles an hour?
75 to 80 miles per hour.
Yeah,
right.
So let's say we're doing 80, which we were at times. You're probably down to more like 130 miles of range.
Or 110.
Yeah.
And I revisited this after watching the video, and it was a mistake that I made, Roman.
Yeah.
Which was near the end of the trip going out to Florida. Not near the end, actually. It's when we were getting into Florida. We charged up, and we had one of the longest stretches. And
which was like 160 miles.
Right. And I didn't have my foot to the floor, but I was definitely cruising at, or, you know, 70, 75 miles per hour. And realistically, had I kept the car at, say, 60 to 65 miles per hour, we would have had enough energy to make it to one spot. But because I was going that fast, we were below the amount of energy and power we needed to get to another stop.
It was funny. I wake up like at 3 in the morning. So Nathan did a great job. He would like caffeine himself up. He would drink all the coffee, and he'd take the hard one, which is, you know, like, let's say it's midnight to 6 a.m. Right?
I love driving.
Yeah. So he took the two nights, and it took us two nights. He would drive the whole night. And myself and Cole fell asleep, and I wake up and I look, and there's two numbers, right, that I'm looking at. One is like how far it is to the charger, which is 60 miles, and then there's how much range we have, which is 58. And
or, I was like, or less. It was like 54.
I was like, Nathan, those two numbers are the wrong.
They should be the other way around. And I'm too busy just like, you know, listening to rock and roll. And
yeah,
like,
you were like, you had the fit between your teeth. Yeah. You're like, I'm going. I'm like, you're going to be pushing, dude.
So what we had to do, and this is the good news, is that if you have enough time, you can feather it out and run the vehicle more economically.
Right,
and get back that mileage. Now, what I had to do, and I'll tell you later on my solo trip back, was I was in a scary spot, and I actually had to go behind the slowest truck I could find for 30 miles in order to make it to a charger. Yes, you can draft vehicles. I do not recommend it because it can be dangerous for certain people. But in this case, we couldn't do that because we had to slow down so much that even giant big rigs, and this is in a foggy night.
Oh, yeah, it was terrifying.
Flew past us, and I couldn't jump behind them and draft them. So in essence, we just had to sit there and go really slow. But we couldn't go too slow because on that road, if you're under 20 miles per hour over the the speed limit was, I think, 75. And if we were traveling more than 20 miles per hour under that speed limit, then technically speaking, we were breaking the law, and they actually could not arrest us, but give us a ticket. And we didn't want to get pulled over because that's another expenditure of energy and blah, blah, blah. So we had to maintain like 51 miles per hour or something like that.
But we slowly, you know, I'm like, okay, Nathan, now you can do 53.
Yeah, and we creep up progressively. And whenever I saw a truck in the distance, I'd have to hit the hazards. If I left the hazards on too long, I was worried that that would actually suck up a little bit of juice. You name it, we were just really freaking out. So we made it, but with like 4% left on our battery.
Yeah, there were like three sketchy parts. That was one of the sketchy parts.
That was one of the sketchiest.
The other one was, and this is my fault, I navigated us into downtown Houston in rush hour traffic, which was not great.
Yeah. Now, Houston has a bunch. I mean, the freeways are very confusing over
Texas.
It's
very confusing, yeah.
But on top of that, the HOV lanes, which are beautiful because we flew past traffic, unfortunately, this one HOV thing dropped right in the middle of downtown Houston,
Having like Google versus Waze versus Apple.
Oh, yeah. All three of our navigations were just like yelling at each other.
Go left, go right. And I'm yelling at Nathan. Nathan's yelling at me. Cole's like, I can't figure this out.
Yeah, poor Cole's in the back. Just like, look, it might even say something different. So we finally figured it out. We got out of there. We lost about 20 minutes, I'd say, there, which is invaluable time because we're trying to kind of break a record here. And that was, but we made up some of that time as well. And the good news is that, A, we made it safely. B, we didn't manage to kill each other, which I was surprised. I thought it would happen. I thought Cole was going to lynch both of us. And finally, the car was brilliant.
It's very comfortable.
It was a very good road trip car, actually. And I can attest to that because I drove it back.
Yeah, so let's talk about you driving it back. So what happened was we got there. And then me and Cole.
That was on Friday.
That was on Friday. We changed our flights, and Nathan took us to the airport, so we flew home. But then Nathan had the, I don't know, was it a good or bad task of driving it back to California? Let's talk about that.
I volunteered.
You volunteered.
Yeah,
probably dropped it off there.
Oh, yeah, we could have had it transported back for about $2,500 or something like that, I think is what it would have cost, or maybe more. What I decided to do, bear in mind that things change. The TFL, when Roman makes a decision, it could be just because the wind blew a different direction. So
I woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Exactly.
Thank you, Nathan.
But the point is that we made the decision that I would drive back to L.A., and by the time I got back to L.A., it would be a day or two before the car show, and that we would have the Ioniq 5 for transportation driving
and then
around.
You'd come into the car show with me, but then,
right.
But then what we figured out was that there weren't exactly a lot of great new cars being
right, which debuted. We're going to cover when we hit to the LA Auto Show. Mm-hmm. So midway through my drive, and I had plenty of reasons I really wanted to get home. I missed my wife and missed my kids, but also I had a brand new car that I hadn't seen yet.
Halfway through the drive, finally his Santa Cruz gets delivered.
Yeah, it's,
of course he's
I'm driving.
You've committed to now driving across country both ways.
Actually, that happened at SEMA when the car was delivered.
That's right.
But still, I wasn't there. I heard it was nice, you know. Anyway, long story there too. But
his new truck actually is also up on LTFL. So if you want to see that,
that's right. Yeah, we got a couple videos coming out with that.
Yep.
I decided, I'll drive back and, have a nice time, save a few hours for myself and listen to my music. I love just driving down the road listening to music. And then about halfway through, Roman calls me and goes, there really isn't any reason for you to hang out at that auto show. So why don't you just bring the car back and fly home? Which I thought, yeah, that's great. But that also changed the whole thing. So suddenly this whole trip changed. And then we made a decision on top of that, that I should stay an extra 2 nights because I had to meet the guys and drop off all the gear that was left in the car to a motorcycle dealership where they were hanging out because they were picking up motorcycles. Right?
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
There's so much to it.
But by the way, I'm going to get this out there. If you're wondering what happened to giving away those T-shirts and water bottles.
We
some people, because we put the videos out, we gave those away and we put those videos as shorts up on YouTube. So if you were on, if you want to see where those went, or I think there's a few of them are still out there. I think San Antonio, that one hasn't been recovered yet. So go to TFL EV and look at the shorts. Where we hide the bottles, and I think the one in San, there's like four or five of them that haven't been, because some people are in the videos which were published at TFL Car were like, well, where's the free T-shirts? And we were you know, filming them and driving to the next one, and then stashing them and filming them, and then publishing the videos where they're at as we were going down the road. So go over to TFL EV, check out those shorts, and you'll see, like, I think San Antonio's one of them. And I, you know what? We could do a post on the website to say which ones are still out there.
Well, we'll talk to Uncle Zach soon and have him work with us on
that. So tell me about what it was like. It took us 2 days, right?
Yeah.
2 days. It took you how long?
It took me technically 8 days.
Okay, 8 days. So tell me. So you decided, which was also quite mystifying. So we're flying out. I'm like, Nathan, where are you going? He goes, I'm going to Jacksonville. And I'm thinking to myself, you're going east, dude.
It wasn't that far east, and that was why I wanted to do it, because I wanted to go coast to coast. I figured, because I was going to write about this.
Right.
I've been writing on TFL for 12 years.
Yeah.
So I figured, okay, it'll be a good story. So I went to Jacksonville, which is, by the way, an awesome place.
So you liked it.
It's a great place. There's this great...
Because we finished in Orlando, which is kind of in the middle of the state.
Yeah, and it's Orlando. And it's not like I was going to go to, you know, Epcot on my own. I mean, I didn't want to be a loser. So I wanted to go to a nice place and start... refresh, because none of us had slept really in over 2 days. In my case, it was almost 3 days with Cole because the whole thing we did with SEMA. So I go to Jacksonville, and that's where I start. And from Jacksonville, immediately a major problem.
What happened?
Fast chargers are unavailable.
Ooh. And this is a problem because slow chargers on a car which has, I think this has what, 87 kilowatt hour battery
ish.
So on a level 2 charger, that's an all night charge. All night to go from empty to, and we were pretty much always going down to like at least
20% or so.
So what happened?
So what I had to do is I had to chart my way to different level 2 chargers to eventually get myself to a level 3 charger. And I was an idiot. I didn't bother looking at this next level 3 charger to see whether or not it was actually working.
So there's an app called, is it Charge? No, it's PlugShare, right? What's the app?
PlugShare. There's a couple. PlugShare. Electrify America has their own app as well, which worked actually pretty good for me heading back home.
Yeah, PlugShare. I've got it right here. Yeah. So there's this app called PlugShare, and you can go into it, and it tells you, it's crowdsourced, like, you know, where the nearest chargers are, and it gives you these little, if you're watching this on YouTube, you probably can't see it, but it gives you little icons, like green ones are level 2, yellow ones are level 3, so it depends.
Right. So
it tells you if they're working.
I was using 4 different apps to try to navigate through from Jacksonville heading towards Tallahassee.
Yep.
Okay, because that was essentially my way out.
Okay.
Now, Tallahassee was going to be just a stop. I was going to do my first stop over in, Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
That was my first initial stop. I didn't make it because I finally found a level 3 charger after using ChargePoint, PlugShare, and, of course, Electrify America. And I didn't bother researching the information early because I was still a little groggy. And there's no excuse. I was just being lazy. And that's why I kept having to hit, like, wait a half an hour to an hour and get up to maybe 5% extra charge and then make it to the next level 2, 5%. And also, some of those level 2 charges were broken. I actually went to a library where one was vandalized and completely destroyed.
So you spent a lot of time sitting in your car.
That first day was really rough, and I was really disenchanted by the whole thing because I made it to Tallahassee by midnight, which should have been just a stop along the way to Mobile. So I grabbed a hotel in Tallahassee.
Did you charge up overnight at the hotel? Did you find hotels with chargers?
Okay, here's another problem.
All right.
So what I did, and I used hotels.com, and I'm not giving them a free thing because they made a mistake, and that is you can actually checkmark it when you're checking your hotels for for hotels that have chargers. What it won't do is tell you whether or not that charger is a Tesla charger only.
Oh.
So you have to call the hotels. Now, a lot of people at these hotels are not very well educated about the amenities they provide for electric vehicles.
So
because
they tell you misinformation.
Oh, more than once.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd say out of the 8 hotels I had to stay at, I'd say 3 of them had absolutely no idea what they had. And I went there assuming that I'd have a place to plug in.
Yeah, so you could start fresh with a full battery.
Right, and no bueno. But fortunately, the other 5 hotels did have some pretty good chargers, and I was able to sometimes you have to jump through a few hoops and call a number and download an app. I have like 5 extra apps on my phone for these local chargers. But still, I could plug into level 2, and the next day, 100% battery, boom, hit the road. And I loved having that. Hotels need to understand there's a big difference between a Tesla charger and a non-Tesla charger. And unfortunately, they just didn't know or understand the problems there. I got to tell you, though, I made a discovery. The second day, went to Mobile, Alabama. I've never stopped in Mobile before.
Yes.
What a great place.
You liked it. We were there.
Absolutely
we
awesome.
We charged there, but it was 3 a.m. at the Walmart, and there were like stray dogs wandering around.
Yeah.
It did not look that charming to me, but I bet you it is if you're there in the daytime
and
not at
a
Walmart.
There's this beautiful river area, and there's an old town area, and the food was incredible.
Well, there you go. Mobile.
A battleship. Very, very cool.
I remember we passed
the battleship. We passed the battleship, and it was like murky fog, and all of a sudden there's a battleship out of nowhere. So which I didn't go on to the tour because I didn't want to pay $15. And I also remember, even though I could take my time going back home, I still needed to get back home in about a week. Well, back to L.A., I should say. Anyway, so there were other challenges here and there where there were minor issues, but I had one big one along the way where I was almost completely stranded.
Okay, tell me what happened.
And you remember this place, Junction, Texas.
Oh, I remember Junction, Texas.
Remember there was a motel?
Yes, I remember.
But they had 4 chargers there, right?
Yeah.
So I get there, and there was a very nice family that was there with the guy's wife. He was in an EV6, and she was on the phone screaming. And I wondered why she was screaming. And then I looked at each one of the things,
they're
and they were all shut down.
Ooh.
I'm at less than 50 miles range. They were probably even less. And there's nothing around there. The closest level 2 was 56 miles away.
Ooh.
And, I mean, there's nothing around there. This is an oil town, right? So I just wait. And it took her about a half an hour. Finally, one of the 150s comes back to life. And I let them plug in because she went through all the trouble. So that stop, which could have been a disaster, took about 2 hours to charge, which slowed me down once again.
I got to think, like, all you out there who are listening to this who don't have an electric car, haven't road tripped an electric car, you're like, I will never road trip an electric car in my life.
Yeah.
And there's a couple lessons here. So I think there are 3 main lessons. So let's go through them, okay?
Okay.
Number one, Tesla has just a huge advantage with their supercharger.
They have almost a decade head start on some of these other guys with their infrastructure.
And as part of number one, the other thing that Teslas do, which the competition doesn't do or tries to do, is Tesla will actually tell you how long to drive between chargers and how long to charge. So if you go to Tesla and you say, I want to drive from downtown Orange in California to downtown Orange in Orlando, it'll tell you where to stop for how long to stop. And most of those places will be in nice locations. They built their supercharger network out in places where there are Starbucks or shopping malls. With Electrify America, which is the biggest competitor, it's usually Walmarts. And the first couple of Walmarts are nice, but by the fourth one, you're kind of done with Walmart.
I'd say 80% of the ones were Walmarts. There were also some hotels that they were hooked up to. And the problem with some of these hotels is that if you really want to use their bathroom and you walk in, they're motels. Some of them are like, oh, I don't know, you're not staying here. And I actually encountered that as well.
So what confounds me, Nathan, to this day, right, is like there are like different lessons that Tesla has brought to the world when it comes to electric cars. First and foremost, like the easiest one is get rid of door handles. Not everybody's gotten rid of door handles. I hate that lesson, but they've done it. Another one that I hate that Tesla pioneered, put all your stuff into a screen. So lose hard buttons. And it's cheaper to manufacture a car with no buttons.
It's true.
Right? Another one that they did, over-the-air updates. Love that.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's great.
Love that. But the one, and these have all been copied by all the other legacy manufacturers.
Yep.
The one that they should be copying, that none of them are copying, which is astounding to me, because it would guarantee, unless you buy Tesla, that you will own the future of electric cars, and that could be all cars. Build out your own charging network. Why isn't like GM or Ford? Why are they all constantly like relying on other charging networks?
They're investing in other companies that call themselves experts. And in some cases,
it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and there's recently been a huge surge of money in the infrastructure campaign to build these out. Here's my request. It's a very simple one.
Okay.
What was the one thing you think we really missed going to these places that we had to go to a gas station to do?
Clean bathrooms?
Close.
What?
Squeegee.
Oh, no squeegees.
Think about this. Each charging place essentially works like a gas station. You go there to fill up your vehicle and go on. In some cases, you're going on a highway. For even just 100 miles, your car could be covered in bugs and crap. There's no place at any of those electric places to find a little squeegee.
One had it. There was one at a gas station. The electric
By the gas station though,
had
right.
one. They had them, yeah.
Right, but that doesn't count. I'm talking about just all the normal ones.
Hey, how about another one? And this is just a suggestion. How about a roof if it rains?
A roof. Wouldn't that be nice?
And shade?
It did rain. I had this rainy, horrible night.
Okay.
And I'm here with high voltage monster cable. By the way, these cables are not very flexible. I know a lot of you guys were making fun of me like, oh, Nathan, you're complaining about back up and plugging in, which does kind of suck, but what really sucks is having to take the cable, which is like a fire hose, and bending it and trying to get it into this port, because sometimes things are in your way, or the way they're set up, they're not all uniform. Some of them are where you can pull through, which is great. Some of them are set up in a line like an ATM, and that's not so great. And the worst ones are these off-center ones that they had that you have to back into, and those things were crazy because you can't really bend the thing up and around and over the cart. Anyway.
You know what they do in a lot of places? They have the cable come out of the top.
Yeah, I know.
Which makes so much more, as opposed to the
side. And it's got a spring thing on it.
There's a spring there, right. So if the cable comes from the top, whether it's on the left side, driver's side, or passenger side, it doesn't matter. You just plug it in. Right?
And pull it down and plug,
yeah,
pop it in.
Whereas if it comes out the side of the charger, you got to get the right side of the car to the right side of the charger. And here's the other crazy thing. Electrify America, and I don't know what the thinking was, but this is how it is. They have two cables coming out of their chargers.
Yeah.
If you're new to electric cars, you might think that if Nathan is plugged into one of those cables, that you could plug into the other one. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work that way. It's just the machine itself.
It's basically two cables so that you can plug in on either side. And when people plug in the other cable, it turns off your charging.
Right. So in other words, unlike a gas pump where there's usually two nozzles and a thing, and one's for one side, one's for the other, or whatever. That's if you have a gas pump with two of them. That usually means the gas pump has two different machines that actually produce gas.
Imagine if a gas pump, right, had two gas things.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, instead of one, right?
That means both would work.
Yeah, but they don't. Only
no,
one
no, no. In this case, at these electric things, there's two little, things that you could put in your car. But realistically, only one of them is working from the machine. So if somebody else who's inexperienced grabs the other one and plugs it in, it'll shut off yours. If you're not around, you're in trouble.
So the latest news last week was that Tesla's trying to make their connector the standard, right? So we use CCS.
Right.
Europe uses CCS2. The Tesla ones are much better, but it's too late. That horse has left the stable, man.
Is there any way that they'd allow some sort of converter?
They're opening it. They said
but now you're going to get a converter.
Yeah, you could probably get a dongle. But the problem still is you got this. The Tesla cable is smaller. The connector is smaller. It's just much more pliable. And so they're saying, hey, let's make ours the standard. But they should have done that 10 years ago when they started. Now CCS has become the standard, which are these, you're right, they're these awkward, big, they got the two DC plugs on the bottom. And
right.
then they got the connector, the regular connector level two on top. And it's hard, right?
Because it's cooled. And so inside that hose,
cooled,
they have a cooling element in it, too. And it's... So people swear up and down that the CCS is a better system that can provide actually more power in the future, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I just want to be able to charge the car, at every charger, be able to squeegee my windows, have a roof to cover my head if it's raining.
And it is mind-boggling how sometimes, they're down, right? It would seem like, we have, I don't know how many plugs in here in this room, and they never go down, but those chargers go down with a terrifying frequency. So anyway, so you made it, right? You weren't stuck at this place.
No, I was able to get it. That took 2 hours. That was a 2-hour stop for me.
And people might be wondering, why don't you just plug it into the wall? Because you do have that wall charger.
But sure, and that would give me 1% in an hour or 2% in an hour.
It would be like filling up your gas tank with eyedropper.
Yeah, exactly.
it would take a long time.
And a lot of you guys say, yes, you know, the gas station's at home, and you're absolutely right. A level 2 charger at home, or even level 1.
And you own a Leaf, so.
Yeah, and that's how I charge it. I use basically 120 all the time, sometimes 220, but really 120, plug it in, the next day it's ready to go. It also has a 30 kilowatt hour battery, and it's never fully, you know, empty when I bring it home. And I have solar, so I don't mind doing it. So those are many different things. In this case, though, I will say that 90% of the trip was awesome, and the electric car was fine. I had no major issues. 10% of that trip was either infrastructure issues or issues with these hotels that I mentioned, where they told me in a wrong way, oh, yeah, we have a charger. Oh, sorry, you can't use it by the time I get there.
You know what we learned when Andre and I road tripped the Lightning? Because we had very similar issues from Detroit.
Right.
We learned that the best hotels to stay at are the ones that are near the Electrify America ones. I should have passed on that bit of
learning. I didn't even think about that.
Bit of learning to you. Yeah, so usually, you know, the Electrify Americas are also off the highway, right? You know, Walmart. So you find a hotel that's in that same kind of complex with the gas stations, the Walmart, and the hotels. Mm-hmm. And then if the hotel one is bad, you're next to an EA station, and you can just go, boom. It's nice to have it plugged in overnight. But if there's an EA there, you don't care because you can always drive it.
Which is what I had to figure out on the fly, that there was an EA. And I used ChargePoint like probably half a dozen or more times. And ChargePoint, with only one exception of the one that was broken. Well, there's two that were broken. One was actually like physically someone destroyed it. I don't get you people sometimes. Why do that? Anyway, so I used ChargePoint a lot as well. And ChargePoint's great for level 2. They do have some level 3s in California, and I actually, our friend Motoman showed me one when I went to visit him when I went to Southern California. So encapsulating this whole trip, it was a very eye-opening experience because I had to solo this vehicle. I didn't have any backup from the guys, and I had to use apps, and I was able to do it. And had I taken my time even more so and actually really explored, making sure I called every hotel and said, hey, go outside and look and make sure it's not just a Tesla charger, or make sure you actually have a charger, which in some cases some of them didn't.
Or make sure that it's working.
That too. That was, yeah. So, but many of these things set aside, I had a great time. I mean, there was some great stuff.
There's not a Ram 2500 parked in front of it.
Oh, BMW 7 Series. I actually have a picture. Now, I did write a story on this journey, which is up on TFL Car. That posted just a few days back. And that actually has a picture of the parking lot where one of the chargers is being taken up by a BMW 7 Series.
And not the new one.
Not the new plug-in hybrid, the old one. No, this is a much older one. And I think I wrote down below it, the struggle is real. I found some other places where people, there was one guy in a giant diesel truck who deliberately parked in a CCS spot. And I just thought, that's classy. And he came running out, jumped in his truck, and took off the minute he saw me pull up, though. So I think maybe he was aware. I don't know. Anyway, but the trip, it's a good start. And I think that a lot of you guys who want to do this type of trip cross-country, as long as you plan it carefully, you can totally do this. And you don't have to do it in 46 hours. You could do it in like 4 days comfortably.
Look, you just pointed out in a really clear and easy way the problem with electric vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. It's a whole new animal. And like there was a New York Times story where a New York Times reporter who should have known better rented an electric car and took her like 15 days to go across whatever. I'm exaggerating, but it took her like, 3 days for what should have taken 12 hours. And the problem is people, don't get into the weeds about these things, right? Mm. It should be like a gas station where you just pull in and you stick the pump in and you fill it up.
And it eventually will get there, I'm assuming, but not right now.
And some of these charging networks aren't making it any easier, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many times like I've pulled up to a charger where I don't have the app and the first thing they make you do is download the app. I'm like, why are you making me download an app?
Especially if you're in the middle of nowhere. I don't really want your app.
I really don't want your app because in order for me to then make the charger work, first I have to download the app, which then means I have to have self-service, mm-hmm. right? Which you may or may not.
Exactly.
Right? Then it has to connect to the charging network, which it may or may not.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just have, credit card, boom, done. Plugged in, charging.
Just like you do at a gas pump. Yeah. And a simple machine, and I don't understand that. I would have been more than happy to deal with 150 all the way down the road. I didn't need 350.
That's another thing you bring up. People don't understand the difference between. So it's also very confusing. So battery size is measured in kilowatt hours.
Mm-hmm.
Charging speed is measured in kilowatts, and the two aren't interchangeable. They're very different.
Right.
And like one of the most popular vehicles out there is the GM. Bolt, and the Bolt EUV, right?
Yeah, EUV.
And those have a huge Achilles heel in that they can only charge at 50 kilowatts.
Well, that's really slow.
So that's super slow. And what ends up happening is people who don't understand the difference between 50 kilowatts and 150 kilowatts and 350 kilowatts will pull up in a Bolt, plug into the 350, and they can only absorb 50, whereas us in the Ioniq...
We could go to 225, no
250,
problem.
And then we're stuck using the 150. And mm-hmm. if that person in the Bolt had plugged into the 150, they'd still only be maxing out at 50.
Right. Think about it this way: that it's like a ring that you're trying to shove fluids through, and 50 is maybe 3 inches in diameter, but 250, which is what our Ioniq 5 was like, you know,
like a garbage 20, can.
Yeah, it's huge exactly. by comparison. The amount of energy that could flow through
and
there.
And the Hummer's even bigger.
Oh, the Hummer's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but. But they all also, it's another important thing, even though that is their maximum capacity for speed, that isn't necessarily where they're going to charge the full time. As a matter of fact, rarely do we ever go above 225.
Yeah, I think we saw 207 was the highest.
No, we got to do 20.
So there are these it's called a charging curve, right? And the way that EVs work is if you're at 20%, the battery has to be at the right temperature to mm-hmm. accept the maximum amount of voltage. And then if you're lucky, you'll get the max amount. But then over the course of the battery life, it slowly starts to decline until it falls off a cliff. It's like 80%.
Right.
And then if you plug a charger in and it doesn't work, you don't know if it's the car not accepting it or if it's the charger not accepting it or if it's both or if it's neither. You just don't know.
Yeah. So to tell you my funniest story of the trip, which you were involved with, I kept telling Roman – I cannot wait to get to New Orleans and get myself.
That's right. We blew through New Orleans.
Yeah.
We saw it at night.
We actually went over New Orleans.
Oh, we went through Baton Rouge.
Yeah, we went up and over, right. Yeah. And we didn't, and frankly, it was good reason, we would have congested traffic and everything else. Trust me, I spent the day
and
there.
We were like, dang, we wanted to see New Orleans.
Yeah, I wanted to get a beignet, I wanted to have some etouffee and all, you know, come on, a guy my size, yes, I'm a foodie. So, but I'm saving it all up for this, right? I get into town, and it's Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football, the Ravens versus the Saints in Louisiana, meaning there are a million people. I've been there before, and forget it. You're not parking, much less going anywhere near a charger.
And the stadium is downtown.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I was just like, I wonder why there's so many people wearing jerseys. Wow, they must really be into their team. You go, guys. And I couldn't figure it out. And so
you didn't have a ticket, I take it.
No, God, no. And, but more importantly, I wouldn't, you know, I'm a Steelers fan. Yes, it's a rough year.
You had a ticket.
Yeah. So fortunately, I was able to go.
Worst year for the Broncos.
The Steelers and the Broncos are both doing really, really bad.
I think what they're 3-3 what are they?
It's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah. Anyway. A police officer, I pull over to this one place that a friend of mine suggested, who's actually a sommelier out in California, but he's like knows all the food. Go to this place. You'll love it. Okay, I tried. No way I can park. I'm just sitting there in the car, and a cop knocks on the window, and I'm thinking, oh, great. Here comes a ticket. Damn it. Unroll the window. He's a fan of the show.
Oh,
he recognized the car.
Oh, that's cool.
And he says, there is no place for you down here. And he even said, aren't you a Broncos fan? And I wanted to correct him, but I didn't want to, you know.
Not time to argue with the guy.
No, and so he sent me out of town, away from, you know, the French Quarter and that whole area, and to a wonderful seafood place. It was great. And the next day, yes, I got beignets. Found out that you're not supposed to eat those in the car. Powdered sugar everywhere. It was like the worst thing. And I'm not even supposed to eat these damn things, but they're so good.
Now your wife's going to know.
Oh, she already knew. She called me an idiot. So right shortly after that, Roman calls me. And he's just checking up. Hey, how you doing? You know, checking up on the phone. And I said, no,
beignet.
I went downstairs. Yeah, I was downtown, and there was a big game. And I can hear Roman like, ah! you know, on the phone
did you have
laughing.
Cafe Olé too?
Yes, I did. Of course okay. I did. All you right. don't need coffee. I had like three.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I was. That was the other thing. I had way too much coffee on this trip. But that was like the kind of funny, amusing part. And I love New Orleans. It's like one of my favorite places, and I just couldn't experience it very much because there was a gazillion people for the game. So the highlight of my road trip was actually Mobile, Alabama. And also, I had a great time getting through Houston, which was a bigger nightmare than before. 3 hours to get through Houston.
Ugh.
3 hours.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't time that right. We went right through.
We got lucky.
Like 5 o'clock traffic.
Anyway, but it all worked out. So let's move on to why I was going back to L.A., and that is for the L.A. Auto Show, which for those of you who are not able to see this program, if you're listening to it, behind me is an awesome picture of Roman, one of your better hair pictures, where he's next to a very interesting Porsche 911, in my mind, the highlight of the show.
I agree. But I do want to, before we finish off with the road, I do want to thank Hyundai.
Oh, thank you, Hyundai.
I want to thank Electrify America for making this possible.
Right.
Because Electrify America did go out of their way, and they did basically make our chargers free. So we told them what chargers we were going to be stopping at.
Right.
And I kind of feel like that was a benefit to everybody else who was charging.
Yeah, everybody else was like, hey, this is a great day, isn't it? They're like, yes, hi. You know, we didn't want to tell them why.
I didn't want to tell them why because we were coming through.
In the video, in the second video, we did talk about what because it shows what the price would be.
Yeah.
So we did show how much it would be for
that
charging.
Thank you, EA.
Oh, absolutely.
And thank you guys for watching because, you know, without you guys, we couldn't do, we could have done it, but it wouldn't have obviously been as much fun or interesting. And like I said, if you do want to try to find some of those hidden T-shirts and EA water bottles, there's like 5 of them still out there. Well,
5? Really?
I think wow. so. I think we like stashed. Well, we stashed like 18.
Okay.
And I think 5 didn't get found.
Okay. Well, we will put up an article coming up very soon.
TFL, yeah.
On all TFL. You'll see it. And yeah, check it out. Call your friends. Find out.
Yeah,
and let us know if you want us to do this again, too.
Yeah, let us know. And good luck to you, Nicole and Eileen. I hope you guys break that record. 46 is the record.
Yep.
All right, so LA Auto Show, Nathan. So I'm sitting there, crouching in front of the new 911 Dakar, which is Porsche's 911 off-roader, believe it or not. So they built a car that goes back to the heritage of racing Dakar. And you can't see it, but in front of it was the original car that raced Dakar. So what do you think of that thing?
Well, first of all, I'm a huge Dakar fan. You know this.
Yes, I know. You're a crazy Dakar fan.
Yeah.
That's coming up, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. And I see this, and I always thought to myself, would I sell my children and my wife and my house for a car? And I always said no. Now I'm thinking.
So that car costs $225,000 starting. That's
I could totally sell half my house for that.
Okay, if you get an allocation, and then they're only building 2,500 of them.
Ew.
And you see something interesting about that car?
The roof rack. The
no,
tires.
The livery.
Oh, the livery. Yeah, well that's read, just like the.
No, but read what it says.
Rough road.
What were that said originally?
Oh,
you know this.
Yeah.
Come on, you know this.
Rothman's.
Exactly. Very good. Yeah. So they did because cigarettes are of course not cool. They changed the Rothman
to rough roads.
To rough roads.
Oh,
I thought that was pretty clever.
953. I like that as well. So
it's got a fixed spoiler in the back. It's got this, you know, the regular Porsche engine. It does have, you know how Porsches have that the front axle lift where if you're going to go
over a speed bump, it'll pop it up.
Yeah, they put that on both the front and the rear.
Oh, cool. So you could
raise it up, I think, 7.5 inches of ground clearance.
Which is good for rally cars. I don't know if I would want to necessarily take that over a dune per se, but there's a kind of a point here. This is actually something that you can buy as a regular customer. Now, there's another company that builds these, and they take old 911s, strip them out, and actually turn them into, or 912s even, and turn them into full-on desert Dakar rally vehicles that actually go out and race and do these cool rallies. But those are, you know, purpose-built for off-roading. This is actually something you can drive every day, which I don't care how goofy it looks to some people. I would, with the roof rack and the tanks,
like
I would drive that every day.
Red recovery hook?
Oh, and it's red. Oh, Tommy would be thrilled. Done. It's a done deal.
So you know, I'm with you. I love these off-road Porsches.
So cool.
But I was talking with one of the other automotive journalists there, and my fear about these, and I think they'll sell all 2,500 of them.
Oh, I think they already have.
I don't think they have yet, but I think they will. It's a lot of money, right? I mean, you can get a 911 turbo for that.
Yeah.
It's not a turbo. It's just a regular, you know, what is that, a 4-liter, I think, in there now?
Something like that.
Yeah. It puts out like 500-ish horsepower.
Still
480 horsepower.
Plenty of horsepower. And all-wheel drive.
Yeah, and all-wheel drive. But the question, Nathan, and this is I think Aaron Robinson brought this up. Or I forget. Or maybe it was one of
I saw Aaron as well, but on a different thing.
Yeah. So my question, or this person brought this up, is you buy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you drive it, and then what? Because you're not going to take it off-road.
Yes,
you're,
I will.
No, you will, but but
99.9%. Yeah, most people won't.
So you're not going to take it off-road, and then you've got a vehicle that is a little bit compromised because it's got these really cool Pirelli all-terrains on it.
Right.
But let's face it, they're not going to be – I mean, a Porsche 911 is the ultimate performance car, right? So the reason you have it is because you're going to take it on the track or you're going to take it into a canyon. You could do that with this, but it feels a little bit like a duck out of water.
It would be a little bit, and then because you're rich enough to afford this car, which is a, you know, pretty much $250,000, then you can easily put on other tires.
But would you do that? That makes it silly then. Then just get yourself. I mean, you got to keep those tires because if you put on street tires, then you've got a regular 911. What's the point?
Oh, well, there's plenty of companies that make cut tires that look street tires, but are sorry, the other way around, that look off-roady,
yeah,
but are street.
That.
I see what you're saying, but because
the point
there's only
was like you drive it like once and then what?
No, I disagree. There are 2,500 other guys like me who are out there who are like, yeah, I'm gonna take this. You know where I would take it? The first place.
Where are you gonna take it?
I would take it to Southern California.
Okay.
And then I'd drive up north.
Yes.
And I'd flip off all the guys like, yeah, look what I got! This a badass car.
But they'd be like,
no, hear me out.
They would be scratching their heads like.
Yes, exactly. They'd be scratching their heads. Why do you think you're so cool? Because I'm going to Pismo Beach. Pismo Beach, which I think is still open. Is one of the
cars,
few beaches where I could take this thing, punch it, rooster tails, doing that, and then I would do a road trip heading back, and I would stop in Moab, Utah.
Oh,
and in Moab, there's dunes. And there's a really good rally course actually out there. I would do that.
I would do it. I know you would, but I'm like, first of all, I love that car, but you know, I just drove back a G-Wagon Squared. If you're going to do that, I would rather do it in G-Wagon Squared. Right, because it's like you're not going to take that to Moab because in the G-Wagon Square we'll do Moab, right?
It won't do Moab.
I'll do Fins and Things. You will destroy that. Car
I would. It wouldn't take it to Fins and Things.
Right. So
I would take it to Milt.
Onion Creek. No. Milt. Yeah, get a shake.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes.
And then, but there's dunes there. I'll take it to the dunes. I totally would. But yeah,
seven and a half inches of ground clearance. You're going to get high centered like that.
Not one of the dunes I'm talking about. I've actually taken like a Toyota RAV4 and it was fine.
Yes, you have.
This is true. So I could do it in this.
But that one wasn't yours then. You didn't pay $225,000 for it.
It still did just fine. But I would find a reason for this, and 2,500 other guys, these guys would put them on boats and bring them across to where they actually. This is a rally car, Roman.
It's going to happen. It's going to be bought up in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all those places.
Yeah.
It's going to end up in some garage somewhere and be driven five times a year, if that many times.
I know, and that's what makes me sad.
Yeah, that's what makes me sad.
Okay, but let's talk about the other show before we wrap this up. Because
the other car that was significant.
Oh, which is surprising.
Which is really surprising.
I can't believe I'm hearing these words, but it's true.
Let me give you the number, 0 to 60 in 6.5 seconds. What car am I talking about?
It's a Toyota.
Yeah, it's a Toyota. The prime version gets about 38 miles of pure electric range. So now I'm making it easier on you.
Mm-hmm. And it has a very sleek body, doesn't it? Like a really sexy looking body.
Dare I say sexy, yeah. Have you figured it out? It's the freaking new Prius.
The Toyota Prius.
I know.
Is now a badass baller that looks sexy as hell.
I know.
What the hell happened? This is awesome and unexpected.
Yeah, I'm with you. And they, you know, they got rid of that kind of funky, you know, display across the center, right, where you were like, it was like this bar across the center.
Yeah, I never liked that.
Now they've got a regular driver-centric display. On the Prime, get this, they actually put a solar panel on the roof, Nathan.
Very cool.
The whole roof is a solar panel. It doesn't charge the main battery, but it does charge the 12-volt.
Which is fine. A lot of people, that's another whole discussion, another video.
People think you can put a battery
or a solar panel on
a roof and then charge a big DC battery. You can't.
Yeah, you really can. What you can do is...
Well, you can charge it, but it would take like the whole year.
You can get the foldable solar panels. I actually have videos of these guys on YouTube who've done this. And you have to go through another box and then charge your vehicle. And you can do it in a few days.
So, wait, hold on. Here's the funny story. So, you know, there's that Rebel Rally, right? The all women kind of orienteering, which is kind of like a mild...
It's a navigation.
Navigation, yeah. It takes place. And our friend Emmy drove...
she won it.
Yeah, she won it. And she drove the Rivian, right?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you know how they had this giant, like, trailer that they brought with giant solar panels on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they would unfold... to help charge the vehicle. And the key word there is help, because inside that trailer were a bunch of big-ass diesel generators.
Yes, they were. But now there's a caveat to that. There's a caveat.
Yes.
Because Rebel actually reached out about that. The company that supplied the power actually had these hydrogen cells that they wanted to bring.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have they had to have a special legal pass in order to do that, in order to transport hydrogen,
and they couldn't do it. So, hydrogen so as
the
a power source.
I know, but the last moment they had to switch to the diesel instead of having the hydrogen. And the hydrogen would have worked great because the only byproduct is water, and basically it would have charged these things without a problem.
You know, GM has that too. They have these like portable
and that's coming real
fuel
soon.
Cell chargers. Yeah.
And that's a whole other discussion, a whole different podcast where we're going to talk about the future of EVs and things like that can go be dropped off in a rural neighborhood. Which would charge your car, which is cool.
But
anyway, back to this.
Yeah,
the
new Prius is coming out beginning of next year, so very soon. And then the Prime, the one with 38 miles of all-electric range.
And a super powerful powertrain.
Yes, it's coming. The 6.5 seconds, 0 to 60, is coming out sometime either spring or summer of 2023. So not too far.
Now, speaking of electric and Toyota, that's a very interesting thing. I think that Akio Toyota has made a bold statement with this. He does not like electric vehicles. And I agreed with a lot of his logic. He's like, dude, we can make these hybrids extremely efficient, very clean, and no range anxiety. You basically have the best of all worlds. You can plug them in. You can gas them up. All this other stuff. They're super reliable now. And he is royally ticked about the fact that everybody's leapfrogging from hybrids, going straight to electric vehicles, and not giving these plug-in hybrids a chance. And I actually agree with him a little bit. And that's, once again, another discussion. But I think that the Prius that you're looking at, the new one, that is definitely like his answer to that.
I actually think the whole industry is taking a big step back. I think they feel like they've rushed into electric maybe too early. And because of all the issues, of course, you talked about on the road trip. So now we're seeing kind of this dawn of the hybrid where people actually – and the great thing about a hybrid is that, you know, you can never – plug it in if you don't want to.
You could just run it on gas if you want.
You can run it on gas, or you can bring it home, plug it in. I mean, the best case use scenario for that Prius is you drive it to work, you plug it in at work, you drive it home. Let's say your commute's 30 miles. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
If your commute's longer, you run out, no big deal. The gasoline engine
And it's seamless, on. Too. At least with the old Prime, it was completely seamless. You had no idea that you were running between electricity and gas. And it's another discussion, Roman. It's a long discussion about the fact that everybody's leapfrog plug-in hybrids. They're super reliable powertrains now. Tommy just drove a Mitsubishi that had a superb plug-in hybrid powertrain.
Yeah. And let's face it, Jeeps, doing
the 4xe?
The 4xe's now. So you've got the Wrangler 4xe, which is a plug-in hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Grand Cherokee 4xe. And those things are red hot. People are buying – you can't get them.
Now, coming back to the auto show, speaking of Stellantis
yes. –
They did show the Fiat 500e.
Yes, they did.
Which will be coming here to the United States, but it's not the one they brought because for some reason they said, here, have a look at this really cute little car. Oh.
They had three of them, three designer editions.
Yeah, but these aren't for you. Sorry. No.
And then the E's not coming till 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out that far, I'm kind of like, oh, that's really far.
That's over a year.
Yeah.
Just come on, guys. I mean, I get it. You could have at least had a concept on the floor or something. I don't know. I know that their budget's limited with Fiat, so hopefully we'll be able to get something. And what else was there? There's a couple other cars. Subaru, they had something that came out, but there was more.
Sure, there was a refreshed Escape.
Yes, but it was like really refreshed.
Yeah. So I still think it lives in the shadow of the Bronco Sport.
And rightfully so. Bronco Sport's a fun vehicle.
The big one that I already driven and I already covered because I went to Korea was, of course, the follow-up to the EV5, which is a Hyundai EV6, is actually even more fuel efficient. It looks kind of like a Infiniti first generation that's been smashed together with a Porsche. It's kind of this weird. Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah,
Simon, I love you, dude, the designer, but it's a weird. I don't know. I think we'll see. Time will tell.
It's a teardrop. It's one of the most efficient shapes out there. The drag coefficient on this remarkably low.
Yeah, yeah. And then the one that everybody lost their, you know, over was the ID Buzz.
Yes. But you're still not going to drive it until 2024.
Yeah, that's the van, right? That's the
Volkswagen electric van.
And we're getting the three-row. They had the European vans out there, which were the two-row. And by the way, I was talking to the PR guys, and they invited us to come out to California and drive them.
Yeah, that's far out. Let's do it.
So I said, I said we'd like to buy one too, because I just the amount of popularity. Lexus had their first the RZ, the new all electric, which is
that's a really good-looking vehicle.
It's basically built on the BZ4, the Toyota BZ4 platform. So that was there. And then, of course, Infiniti had all their new concepts out there, the X concepts, the convertible, incredible, just stunning.
Really, really.
Not Infiniti, sorry.
Genesis
had those out there. But, you know, nothing that would be like no new Mustang or, you know, nothing, no like huge headliner where you'd be like, wow. And truck-wise,
Nothing. LA's never been a big truck show, but I've always had some sort of truck thing.
I got my hands on the new Colorado. It's really nice. So I sat in it and I kind of crawled around it. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, isn't it a pretty truck too? I think it's just a really nice design.
And the one that really kind of blew me away was the Chevy Trax.
Which, when you mentioned that, my jaw hit the floor. Because
$21,000 starting price.
That's a hell of a good price.
Yeah.
So any details on it?
Power source? Yeah, it's a 1.3 liter. Three-cylinder, 1.2 liter three-cylinder.
But I think it's a turbo.
It is a little turbo, yeah. And it's really nice, actually. For the one they had there was the Active, which is a top of the line, comes in at $29,000. But I know that sounds like a lot, but when the average new car price is now approaching 50, you know, $29,000 is a bargain.
Yeah, I mean, look, I paid 32 for my new vehicle, and that was like near the bottom of the range. So, look, $21,000 for any vehicle that provides as much stuff as this does, and I think it's actually pretty good looking too. I think that's a really good first car.
So let me pass along some of the. This is all speculation.
Okay.
So this is talking to people at the show. Mm-hmm. So this is completely speculation. It's not real, but this is a speculation. So I'll drop some news on you.
Okay.
All right. This is big. You ready for it?
Yeah.
A Land Cruiser's coming back. Next year, they're bringing the Land Cruiser back based on the Prado, which is, you know, there's the GX
way.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. So that's a scuttlebutt. The Land Cruiser is coming back next year.
Oh. Well, I think they understand that they left a really big hole in, you know, their lineup. And perhaps Toyota's learned a lesson, you know, don't get rid of stuff that we like. Even though nobody was buying it.
So more Toyota scuttlebutt? Once again, not confirmed.
This is just rumor mill.
This is just rumor mill. You know, all the journalists are there.
Yeah.
Tacoma is going to be unveiled at the Chicago Auto Show. Going to come out as a 2024 in like the summer of 2023.
Okay. So, but this upcoming 2023 Chicago Auto Show?
Yep, in like 2 weeks, 2 months. Yeah, because it's in January, right? So we should.
We go every year anyway.
Yeah. So there might be a new Tacoma. And there might be a new Land Cruiser at the Chicago Auto Show.
That would be an absolute game.
See, now you got some like marquee names you could put
right
out there.
Well, but the thing is Chicago suddenly become like the truck show.
It has, yeah.
You know, and I mean, remember just 10 years ago, Chicago had like one truck or two trucks, and there was like a trim.
Yeah.
And then now it's really just becoming important and good for Chicago and good for Toyota if this is true. We don't know if this is true for sure. Is there anything else before we wrap it up at LA that was worth
Yeah, one more
about?
Bit of scuttlebutt. It seems that you guys, and I'm part of this, are getting really sick of unobtainium. I'm just really sick of it. So, I'll give you two vehicles that people have no interest in, and that's because they're silly. They're great vehicles, but they're not, you know, because of dealer shenanigans, they're not obtainable. So, Honda Civic Type R.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, you know, it's a great car. I'll never get one, so why even? Like at this point, they're like, I don't even care about it because it's not real. And the other one is the GR Corolla. Same thing. People are like, great car, but, you know, the dealers are going to mark them up by just
10,000 at least.
At least astronomical amounts, so why even, like, bother? And I think there's a lesson there for you manufacturers that you probably need to start reeling in your dealers, or you need to figure out some way to, like, get people. Because now you've got your halo cars that people are like, What's the point? What, you know, this is just pie in the sky for me at this point. And that was the sentiment I heard over and over from not just journalists, but even from people at the show that I talked to.
Roman, when I ordered my vehicle, in order to not have to go through somebody who was marking it up between $1,000 and $4,000, I had to wait 4 months.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Now, look, we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. We've already seen that some of the used car prices are actually starting to come down now. So the bubble's kind of burst on that, and it's slowly coming down, which is great. But as for all this other stuff, we're still waiting, and it's still going to take a while for everything to catch up. But the halo cars aren't going to change. Dealerships have been doing this for years and years and years, and they're going to keep doing this until we move to a new model. Tesla's using it. Ford's starting to play with this idea. And I truly believe that dealerships have lost their right to sell vehicles, especially if those dealerships push prices like this. It's unconscionable. It's unfair. And you guys, people are remembering this now. And they're not going to go to you when they find, oh, this dealership was going to overcharge me. Yeah, forget them. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Oh, I forgot two things about the Toyotas.
Oh, go ahead.
Toyota, Tacoma, four-cylinder turbo, most likely.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a while.
And the Prado, probably the powertrain out of the Tundra, the 3.5 liter.
I wonder if it's going to be the hybrid version.
Don't know.
Yeah, that would be interesting because that thing is a monster.
And no new Foreigner in the near future. Still,
which
no.
is crazy, but we've been hearing a lot of stuff about that. And you can go to all TFL and definitely TFL Truck and learn more about stuff we found out months ago about the Forerunner, all the trucks actually, because of the platforms that they're going to be based on are supposed to be all the same. But if this Prado thing proves true, then it might not be true. It might all change.
Hey, it makes sense, right? If you know, there's the odd demand for it. You've got basically it's a GX, right? So basically, you're rebranding a Prado into a GX that you're rebranding into a Land Cruiser. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean, they did it kind of the other way.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the GX here already, so put a different powertrain in it and call it done.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be great. Okay, guys, definitely a lot of talking today. I believe by the time you guys hear this, you'll be stuffed with turkey.
No, today. It's going up today. If you're listening to this.
Well, I'll be stuffed with turkey.
You'll be if you're watching it, it'll probably be after you're stuffed with turkey. But if you're listening to it, it's today.
Okay. So, nonetheless, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Guys, please be careful out there. Remember, a trip to Japan is a real thing, and it can make you tired behind the wheel.
And thank you to all our Patreon friends who make this podcast possible.
Yes, thank you.
We get your emails, we read them, and Andre does a great job of answering them. What was one more thing? Shoot, it was something important, and I forgot.
Live long and prosper. I'm holding up the Spock fingers.
All right, your phone's ringing. All right, see you guys next time.
Bye, guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.